Is this on?
It is on.
Good morning. Okay. Sure glad to see everybody fellowshipping. I don't want to stop that. Louder? Okay, we're going to begin this class now, if you will. Ken Van Horn, of course, he's one of our shepherds who's been teaching this class and this quarter, and he's going to Pigeon Forge with the youth to the conference there, and he's asked me to present this lesson today, and he gave me the option of what I want to talk about, so I've chosen the subject, Why Has God Created Us? But before we address that subject, I would like to begin the class with prayer. So if you will, bow before the Lord as we pray. Our holy and eternal God and Father of the universe, we are grateful to have had this opportunity to express our love and worship to you this morning. And we thank you for the love and care which you have shown us. We're also thankful for this opportunity to assemble now for the purpose of learning more about you and your plan for us to live and be on this planet. And we're mindful of those of our number who have been attending the youth conference and will ask for a safe trip in their travels home. Please open our eyes and our hearts to receive your truth as we look into why you created us. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord, and amen. Why did God create us? This is one of the questions that's frequently asked me among many of the questions that I get from the World Bible School students. And of course, many questions I had myself personally during my lifetime of learning. Why did God create us? We'll try to provide answers to this question and many other questions that may come up here based on the Word of God as we find them in the Holy Bible with some personal commentary here. Can we handle the truth? Where did we come from? Where did any life come and where did it all start? These are questions with really no answers. And that's because the concepts here are what you call incomprehensible. We are unable to understand how this could be, because our sciences only can learn what is now, but cannot answer how and why it all began. And we can find and measure things that do exist in nature, but we cannot measure and understand things that came before nature. We cannot measure those things at all because they're unnatural, they're supernatural, they're invisible, and a force and a source that was always there and established the natural type of essence that we see now, that we can touch and are living a part of. But let's begin with the beginning. Beginning of what? In the beginning, there was no beginning. And once upon a time, there was no time. But something had to be in place to create something else. And all things existed in some form, some kind of energy source, and some kind of intelligence had to be there, because something had to be in place for something else to be formed. In life, if life came from non-life, where did those objects come from? And if they were chemicals to start with, what source do they have? They could not have changed from something that was not in some form of energy source already. All things have energy in them. It's either kinetic energy, which is things that are in motion, or it's potential energy like something in a lump of coal. Energy exists in various forms. Energy can change its form, but it cannot change its quantity, according to our science. Something had to be there for something to evolve or to be created from it. Where did that energy come from? Where did the sun come from, and when? And those oldest sources of knowledge and the existence of man go back to the power source that called himself I Am, which indicates that he always was. And that's the answer that evolution does not have. The Bible is one of the oldest sources of information about life on this planet and in the universe around us. Can something invisible become visible? The Great Spirit, who, after he created other beings, became their God, he says he is invisible, but he has borne for himself an image. That image can be seen by something that is capable, has a mechanism capable of seeing. Because we cannot see something or even understand it does not mean it is not real or that it does not exist. The universe does not rotate around us, and it could exist without us. It did exist without us before we were born or before our species was created. And we can read history books and determine that it did. The measurement of time that, as we know it, could not even have happened until the sun and the earth began to function in an orbital system that exists right now. What happened before that? Let's look at the scriptures again, these old writings, and see what we can learn about the source of all things. Can we really know all about him? 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6 through 12, says, it's a rather long reading here, but it is important, I think. 1 Corinthians 2, 6 through 12. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory. Note this. And when the rulers of this age knew, none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those that love him. but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man that is in man? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. But now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. Why did God create anything? And we have a clue. Revelations 4:11 gives us one of the reasons. It says, "You are worthy, Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you have created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." The King James Version says, "Oh, you created things for your pleasure," and things that exist and are created. God's pleasure, and He just enjoyed doing it. God is a spirit. He's incomprehensible. We cannot understand that. Romans 11, 33 to 34 is one of my favorite verses. It says, "Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Or who has been His counselor?" The Holy Bible, which was written by many authors over a few thousand years, makes many claims of being the Word of God. And in the second letter of Timothy, chapter 3 and 16th and 17th verses, it says, "All Scripture is given for the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof and correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be completely thoroughly equipped for every good work." There are always have been other ideas that have been given to men, sources of inspiration, but they're influenced by other spiritual forces, sometimes referred to as evil spirits or even demons. And we will address the source of those after a while as we talk about how the earth was begun. And we've often been asked not only why has God created us, but other questions like, why did God create heaven and earth? And who is God? And how should we respond to Him? And what other choices do we have? Who should we follow? What rules are available to bless our lives in this planet, and what happens after death, and that we should prepare for that eventuality? Have you ever stopped to wonder what your life is all about, why you're here and where you're going when your lease on life runs out? The Holy Scripture begins with the words, "In the beginning, God." Have you ever stopped to wonder? Beginning of what? We need to remember that there was no beginning. That great spirit has no beginning. And our minds are not programmed to comprehend eternal. The closest thing that I can even imagine or compare to a circle, it would be a circle that has no beginning and no end. But the first verse of that Holy Scripture continues. God created. Let's stop. But before He created, this invisible entity that we call God made for Himself an image, referred to as the only begotten Son. And we are made in that same image. Spirit inside, wrapped in this flesh, this external flesh. Then the first verse of Genesis continues, God created the heavens. Stop. True science teaches that all things have a cause. George Washington Carver, who was one of the greatest scientists I've ever read about, said, "Science is simply the truth about anything. Science recognizes cause and effect. For every action, there is a cause. What is the cause of the heaven? What is the cause of the earth? These are two different things. Heaven is one thing. Earth is another. And God has always been, but what caused Him to create the earth?" Psalm 90, verse 2 explains, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you were formed the earth, or the war, or the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. God was all that was from eternity, and he is the cause of all else. Nothing else existed. Now, there are heavenly places and heavenly beings. And we often hear it said that God made everything from nothing. Romans 4:17 implies that God created things into existence that did not exist. He himself is the total energy source and the intelligence to make it happen. It did not come from nothing. Everything was made from him, even this. All energy, he has the energy source. He is the intelligent to do it. Zero times zero equals zero. Nothing times nothing equals nothing. Cannot be made from nothing. Jeremiah 23:24 says, can anyone hide himself from the secret places so I shall not see him? Says the Lord. Do I not fill heaven and earth? Says the Lord. So here's where we know that God is all and in all. Isaiah 66, the first two verses. Thus saith the Lord, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me, and where is the place for my rest? For all these things my hand has made, and all those things exist. This was also quoted in Acts 7:49, almost word for word. Heavens mentioned in Genesis verse 1 were created as God's residence. And the heavens, the firmament around the world, were made on the second day of creation. We know that God has a different kind of existence, and an existence without time, and an existence where we would have very difficulty, any kind of difficulty, to even try to understand it. Job 36:26 reads, behold, God is great, and we do not know him. How can the number of his years be discovered? Job 38:4-7 reads, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you understand. Who determined its measurement? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy. Now here we have a clue that other beings existed and were present when the earth was formed. As the scripture unfolds, we will see how a plan was made for our existence, and Jesus was there and called God's Son. Colossians 1:15-16 describes that. It reads, he, that's Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. What about these principalities? Romans 8:36-39 indicates there's a struggle going on. And we'll learn in some other places of the scripture that one beautiful angel rebelled. Satan, the devil, and a host of fallen angels rebelled. And Romans 8 tells us that we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. I kind of look at it like a chess game. God versus the white versus the black, all those bishops and other things. But the pawns go first. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors in through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor any present, nor any things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Is this evil force attempting to separate us from our Creator? Ephesians 6, 11 and 12 tells us who the enemy is, and to prepare ourselves by putting on the armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness in this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Now, God could have just eliminated the rebel angels and Satan. He could have just wiped them out. But by his grace and mercy, he chose, and we read in 1 John 3, he chose to defeat the devil. And in Colossians 2, 15, he's going to make a public spectacle of the principalities and powers in heavenly places. 2 Corinthians 4, 4, and the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel and the glory of Christ, who is the likeness of God. In Ephesians 3, 8 and 11, Paul wrote, to me, who am the least of all the saints, this grace was given to me that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 Corinthians 11:26 says, as long as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We proclaim the Lord's death here each Lord's Day, not only to ourselves, but all the people of the world, but also to the powers in heavenly places. By acknowledging the precious blood of Jesus here, which has redeemed us, the result of our faith and the belief in Christ and his shed blood has this eternal purpose. And this evil force is attempting to separate us from our Creator. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Stop. God had a plan before the foundation of the earth. Before the foundation of earth, that's a statement mentioned dozens of times. I don't know how long, how many, I didn't count them, but many dozens of times in the scriptures, a statement before the foundation of the earth. Why? To defeat the devil and to make a public spectacle of the principalities and powers in heavenly places. A plan that he could create entities that would follow him, worship him, love him, and obey him in spite of all that the devil could do, or all that the devil was given permission to do, to draw them away. The book of Job tells about this method of testing a man, with the result that God could say of Job to Satan, I got a man here that fears God and shuns evil, implying to Satan, this one's mine. He also said something like that about Abraham and David, also that this man is this. And the Bible records the events of history, showing the lives of many persons and nations after that, telling who had followed God's way and who had done evil in God's sight. And it also shows the plan of forgiveness in each of those dispensations. But this is now. Why did God create me or you? God wants everybody to be saved, but each one has to pass through the trials of life and the works of the devil. to see if they will seek God and find him, to see if they are willing to confess God and in the Christian age to understand that Jesus is the Son of God, Jesus is God, and learn to love him, worship him, and obey and trust him. Few there are that find it, Jesus said. Seek and you will find. In all the circumstances presented to you in life, will you seek God, or will you be satisfied to live independent of God? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God loved the world. And in Hebrews 9:26, it indicates that Jesus, God's image, and our high priest would have to suffer since the foundation of the world and make the sacrifice once for all to put away sin and the sacrifice of himself. But why should we seek him? I really did not. But he gave me opportunities to consider it. Everyone on this earth has opportunities to investigate Jesus. Who in this world has never heard of Christmas or Thanksgiving or Easter? And what about these events? It's God or Jesus. Who cares? But it's a matter of life and death. And why? This is why we're on this earth, a matter of life and death. But who cares? God has given me, he had given me an opportunity to be born in a family with Dutch Reformed Protestants. And I was sent to 10 years of Christian school and catechism classes and never taught Christianity. Lots of Bible, but not saved. In the book of Exodus, the Israelites were supposed to keep God's statutes, but more than that, they were to reflect those laws and statutes to the heathen who lived around them. Unfortunately, the people of Israel decided they were chosen as a privileged people, covenant people, instead of understanding that they were chosen to be for a missionary service. And the Lord's church has been chosen as a missionary service, as Jesus said in Matthew 28, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. God provides many opportunities. And while living in my own sinful ways as a young man, God, by his providence, made it possible for me to meet Millie. And then a little later, because of our marriage plan, I went into the army. And I've got a very clear memory of just one Sunday morning, and I could not get a pass to get off the post. And I attended a chapel there, and the chaplain got my attention. And I realized that I had not been living right. And I began what you'd call a form of repentance. I got a desire to try to live right. And I have seen since then many ways providence is in the whole process in my life and probably in yours. Even how I got to Louisiana, and that's another story, but it definitely shows me that God is in charge. He sent me to Fort Polk, Louisiana, while all the others I trained with went to North Korea. Louisiana, where Millie and I were married in a Methodist church, and later were introduced to the Lord's church by two soldiers and their wives. Thank God for them. And then the challenge of choice came to be my obsession. I had to unlearn all those things that I had learned to believe and replace it with what the Bible says. I had to take a side in the culture wars. Jesus or John Calvin or nobody. And I had to answer the question, why did God create us? And recently, culture wars have been in the media and editorial, and culture war is not new. It actually is the cause of the existence of this planet. And I had to learn that cause. Before the world existed, the eternal spirit created spiritual entities called angels, cherubim, seraphim, principalities and powers. And one beautiful cherub changed the culture by advancing himself and leading others to follow him. And then the great spirit made a plan to defeat the devil and make a spectacle of the principalities and powers. For this cause, the earth was prepared, and a man was placed on to show the creatures that with free moral will, these people would choose to who they were going to follow, the God of heaven or the God of earth. Each would choose for themselves. And with this, the God of the universe and Satan, the devil, the God of this world, had begun the culture war on earth for the souls of these people. God's word and commandments versus the deceptions of the devil in all of history. And this tells and compares those who followed God and those who followed the devil's ways, following man-made religions or following none. Individuals, tribes, cities, and countries who followed the commands of God were blessed and prospered, but when they followed the man-made ways, they were eventually destroyed. And this is still going on in the world and in the USA today. When people do right and follow God's commandments, they prosper. And some prosper even though they're wicked. But all people pass through the trials, and the culture war is not over until the final day of judgment, when we will all be accountable for the Creator for what we have done in the body. And this will happen whether we believe it or not. Can you explain some other purpose of why you exist and have life? Culture war is not just about politics. It's also a war that the saints cannot avoid. It's not a war that we engage in with the flesh. It's a spiritual warfare, and all of God's saints are involved in it, whether they realize it or not. 1 Timothy 6:13 calls it the good fight of faith, the war against the devil and the principalities and powers in heavenly places. And sometimes our opposition will come from our friends or even from our family. But we are supposed to conduct ourselves under the banner of Christ. He's our commander, and he's given us in Ephesians 6 some of the armor that we can put on to protect ourselves from the devil. We will overcome, but the victory comes through Christ. And they who overcome will join with Christ on the throne and eat of the tree of life and will be clothed in white raiment and have their names in the book of life. And this is why God created us. Before we leave, I would like to say a prayer for our people that are coming home. Oh God, Holy Father, we thank you for creating us. We thank you for the peace that passes understanding and for the promise of a home that you will give us in paradise and your heavenly home. Help us to nurture those who are seeking you but do not know you. Use us as your servants for the people in Ukraine and the many churches and Christians there and the churches in Kyiv where our people have aided the church. The house churches in China and Russia, we will also need your care. They will also need your care in these trying times. And we trust that your love and care will be available for their needs, and thy will be done. We pray it in Jesus' name, and amen. And I thank you for your kind attention, and have a blessed day.